give us a bit of your background, Anne. This didn't just pop up all of a sudden. You've had lots of experience.
I've been working with children and families for a long time, more than 25 years. I started out as a preschool teacher, and right now I work at Northwestern University in the Chicago area, and I develop programs for children to challenge them in science, technology, engineering, and math. And I've been getting a lot of questions from parents about the role of technology in children's play and concerns about how much time children spend playing computer games and playing on tablets and smartphones. And so I wrote Creating a Beautiful Mess because I wanted to remind parents of all the different kinds of play that make up a balanced, playful childhood.
Very important. And I don't know, as you say, lots of people are talking about all the technology and how kids use it. But I want to take just enough time here to run down the names of your chapters, because I think it gives us a clue as to what is included in your book. The first one is Building with Blocks. Can you imagine that? Pretending and Make-Believe, Running Around Like Crazy, Cuddling Something Soft and Small, Laughing, Joking, and Other General Silliness, Creating a Beautiful Mess, Playing Turn-Taking Games, Finding and Collecting Things, and Telling Stories with Toys, and Making Things Happen with Machines. Those are all chapters in each one. Philosophy, great ideas, just lots of good things to think about here. And for teachers, for parents, for grandparents, anybody who, maybe a babysitter, anybody who works with children.
Yes, and the 10 chapters kind of worked out really well from thinking from the child's point of view. So there are certainly books about play that are written from a child development point of view, and if you talk to parents, you know, they think about, you know, which toys the children use, or is this a quiet game, or is this a loud game? But when I thought about how the children think about play, they think about in terms of the actions and the things to do. And so the chapters are about building, pretending, running, laughing, collecting things, making things. So it's about the active things that children really enjoy doing with their parents and their siblings and their friends.
Yeah, that's one of the things as I went through the book I found really interesting, that sometimes when we think about children playing, it's kind of, we see them off there, we're observing them. But several places you talk about how important it is for children to play with their siblings, with their peers, with their parents, that it is a kind of a relationship building thing.
Yes, especially pretending. You know, pretending is a very social thing because they're creating their own stories out of their own imagination. You know, really young children, when they start pretending, they imitate the people around them. They want to be the mommy or the daddy and play house. But as they get older, their play becomes much more complex, and really what's going on in their brains is so fascinating because they're creating something out of thin air. They're imagining something magical. They're superheroes, or they're horses, or they're space travelers living on the moon. So they're imagining these things that don't actually exist in front of them, and it's very abstract, you know, that it's symbolic thinking. And that's something that happens through their interactions with other kids. They could do it by themselves, but there's so much language, dialogue, and conversation, and a lot of fun that happens when they do it with other people.
Mm-hmm. And maybe that's how some of those, let's put on a play kind of thing. Some kids get to that stage.
Exactly.
Yes. Very creative and, as you say, working with others. But another chapter talks about, and this is especially playing with others, and that's board games. I found that very interesting, and you talked about Monopoly and a whole lot of games I've never heard of.
Yes, and you know, I grew up with Monopoly, and I didn't really enjoy Monopoly that much. It took too long. That was one of the problems. You know, for a little kid, if you play all the way through the way the instructions tell you to play, that game can last an hour and a half to 2 hours, and that's too long for the little kids. So there are a lot of great games. Some of them are traditional games. Like, I used to play Parcheesi and Sorry with my family, and those are board games, but they're quick. You know, they don't take as long. There's some strategy. There's some luck involved. But with the beginning board games, the first kinds of games that children play, there are great games, the traditional ones like Candyland. One of the games that I recommend as a first board game is a game called Snail's Pace Race. Hmm. Which has these little snail figures that move across the board. And the kids don't have to be able to read. They don't even have to be able to count. It's all with colors. They identify colors. But instead of having a winner-takes-all kind of thing, the whole team of snails is heading across the board, and the object of the game is to guess or predict which snail is going to get there first. And everybody gets a guess, and everybody can guess the first one. Everybody can guess who's going to be the last one. So it's for the young kids, it's a much more appropriate game than something as complicated as Monopoly. And it's something that families can do together at the table at home, like after dinner, just for a few minutes.
Mm-hmm. And just a couple of other beginning games that I know some people have heard of, Candyland, Chutes and Ladders, but then yes, there's the Hungry Hippos, Connect right. Four, some of those. Chris, I haven't played board games with kids for a long time. But again, the thing that you mentioned that I really liked was that, so maybe there is a two-year-old, a three-year-old that can help play games, but they get help from others.
Yes, and I think when a child is first learning to play a board game, it's works best if there are some older kids or adults with them. Like a group of 4 and 5 year olds aren't going to be able to play a board game by themselves independently. They need someone to be that role model for them so that they can learn how to take turns, they can learn how to play games. So that's why it's a great family thing. It's even better. Board games are even better, I think, at home than at school, because at school you're playing with your peers and everybody's at the same level. But at home you have adults and younger kids, older kids, maybe grandparents, aunts and uncles, whoever happens to be around, who are playing together. And then that makes a really great mix for the kids.
You bet. Now, eventually we're going to talk about technology. But before we do that, there's a couple of other things that I wanted to talk about. The first chapter is building with blocks. Whoever has heard lately of kids having blocks?
I know, it's such a shame that we don't see blocks as much anymore. It used to be every kindergarten classroom had a block area. Sometimes even the first graders had a block area. That's a long time ago. Now you're lucky if you see blocks in a preschool. But I think that blocks are such a fundamental toy that children learn so much about math and science, about shapes and how things fit together. They learn about physics. They learn about gravity when their block tower falls over. It's also a social thing that they do together. And it's so open-ended. You can create any kind of structure, any kind of world if you have a nice set of blocks.
Yeah.
Wooden blocks are the best because they have a nice weight and a nice texture. Mm-hmm. But there are all kinds of other kinds of materials, foam and plastic. Legos are great for older kids. I think younger kids, it's nice that they start out with the wooden blocks. So I really encourage parents to go back to basics and to get a nice set of wooden blocks, and their kids are going to play with those for years.
For years, yes. Okay, another one that we really have to talk about, because it's the heading on your book, is creating a beautiful mess. Hey,
yes.
You're going to encourage messes at home especially?
Well, I think you can contain the mess so that it's reasonable. But the book is named Creating a Beautiful Mess after that chapter, chapter 6, where we talk about Play-Doh and mud pies and finger paints and all of the ooey-gooey stuff that kids really like to get their hands on. I think that's really important play for them from a child development perspective, because they're engaging so many of their senses, and it's physical play. They're touching things, they're learning through the textures that they're encountering. But if it's too messy for the parents, you can do it outdoors. It's definitely an outdoor thing. You can do it at a park in the sandbox. You can do it in the bathtub, so it's easy to rinse the kids off. The story that I told in the book from my own childhood is my mom, every once in a while, not that often, but every once in a while, she'd clean off the linoleum tabletop in our kitchen table, and she would give us chocolate fudge pops. Frozen fudge pops on a stick, and my brothers and I were allowed to draw on the table with our fudge pops. So we'd lick them a little, and we'd draw a little bit, and we'd get covered with the fudge, and eventually the whole tabletop would be covered with fudge. And then she would take us outside and spray us with a hose and clean up the tabletop, and it was a little bit messy. We didn't do it all the time, but it was one of the happiest memories of my childhood, was being able to make a mess.
Yeah, beautiful. Building memories. Okay, let's talk about how play relates to and our concern for all of the computers, iPads, iPod, whatever kids have, and they start using those when they're, I don't know, 16, 18 months old, it seems like. You know, how does that fit with the concern of having kids play?
Yeah, well, technology isn't going to go away. It's an important part of our lives, and kids do need to be savvy technology users. They need to, you know, learn how to use it and use it appropriately. So we can be role models for that. Some of the games that kids play on computers and on tablets and on iPhones, some of those games are good games. Some of them are creative. They learn a lot about language. They may learn some reading and writing skills. They may learn some math skills from them. But parents need to look carefully at which games their kids are playing. A lot of the games are not great. They're repetitive. They don't learn a lot from them. Or they might have violence and other things in them that the parents don't want the kids to have. So I think parents have to be looking carefully at what the kids are using. But I wouldn't say no technology at all, because it's all in context. You know, you think about a little tiny child with an iPad in her hand. If she's using that to FaceTalk with her grandparents, who are, you know, two states away, that's a wonderful use of technology. She can see their faces, they can see her little face, and they're talking to each other. So nobody would argue that that's not a great use of technology. So there is a place for technology, but parents need to keep an eye on it.
Okay.
And children need experiences with all kinds of machines, not just these magical iPads. They think, a lot of us think technology is magical. You push a button and something happens. These are machines that are invented by people, are programmed by human beings. And so I think kids need a natural curiosity about how the machines work. So if you have simple toys get old and are starting to fall apart, let your kids take a look inside and see how those machines work. Give them a
great thing. And we have to interrupt you because we've come to the end of our time, and I want to be sure that people know Creating a Beautiful Mess is your book and a wonderful resource. And I'm thinking maybe if they went to Red Leaf Press, that would be the easiest way to find out more about the book. Red Leaf, all one word, Press. Just Google that and you'll find out more about Creating a Beautiful Mess, a great handbook for whoever plays and works with children. Thanks to you, Anne. Until next time, here's a thought. Play is pretty much any activity that is done purely for pleasure.